We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Friday. I hope that you have had the most amazing week. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Toy. I am your podcaster, Toy. I also have a lot of other titles, such as content creator, freelance writer, influencer, which is usually my last title that I like to go by, and I'm a wife and a mother of three. With that being said, thank you for tuning in. This week, we are going to talk about a lot of things I've been seeing happen in these internet streets because some of y'all don't know what boundaries are. So we're going to talk about boundaries this week. With that being said, how have you guys all been surviving? Listen, parents, we went from trying to get these kids to eat with their, you know, school stomachs to now eating with their summer stomachs. And now we're preparing to bring them back into the school. And as excited as I am because my kids are growing and they're getting older and I'm noticing that with my oldest, you know, she's about to be an adult soon. Like, you're going to blink? She's about to be an adult. And I keep asking myself, especially with these last few years, am I doing enough to prepare her for the world? Am I having enough conversation? Am I showing her enough how to handle herself? Because my fear, I don't even want to call it my fear, but my thought process, my apprehension is that, will she be able to handle some of y'all dusty sons? Y'all put so much energy in making sure these girls are right, but do y'all put the same energy in making sure these young men are good? And that's my thought. Are y'all doing enough to prepare the dusties? And I hate to call other people's kids dusties because somebody could be saying, well, your child dusty too. She's not. But let's just say for 5 seconds, are y'all preparing your sons? Right? We're not talking about making sure they have the finest of sneakers. Do they know how to fill out a job application online? Do they know how to hold down certain things? Like, what are we putting into our young men? Because everybody, their mama, their aunt, their mama's aunt, their cousins of a far off nation, y'all want to hound on the girls, but what energy, what are y'all preparing y'all sons for? Some of your sons can't hold a baby because you feel like that's women's work. So you don't even prepare these men to be fathers. And you don't prepare them to be head of households. Because to be head of households, that means the weight of all the things that require for head of households, they're not ready. They can't take their cell phone going down. They're not going to be able to prepare for when their wife or their significant other is going through a certain change or they need certain things happening for them. Y'all are not preparing y'all sons as much as y'all prepare your daughters. And I'm not saying all, because God forbid y'all come for me. I'm saying the large majority of people put so much effort into preparing their daughters, they're not preparing their sons. You don't prepare your son to cook his own food because what are y'all expecting them to get out of high school and just all of a sudden jump and be married? Because if they do that, if they went from your house straight to being a husband, what skill sets do they have? Think about the men that we're dealing with. I'm 40-something years old, and you have a lot of men in 40s right now who don't have any emotional intelligence to take care of a family. But y'all not seeing, you see how that's working out, but you're not preparing your sons. You're not. Nobody is saying, hey, can you wash some clothes? When the last time you cleaned a bathroom? How are you supposed to keep your space clean, your room? What responsibilities are upon them? Nobody's preparing them. Y'all want us to go as women, as mothers, to prepare our daughters to take upon your dusty sons because what y'all really want is y'all want somebody to take care of them like I do. They're not supposed to take care of them like you do. As a mother, I'm not going to take care of my husband the same way that I take care of my kids because that's not my job. I'm not saying that I'm not cooking for him because everybody got to eat, right? I'm not saying that I may not wash clothes. But what I'm saying is the nurturing effect that it takes for me to take care of my son. I can't expect my husband to get that same treatment, or my husband shouldn't be expecting that, right? Because I'm not his mother. He's already been mothered. So I don't understand why y'all not preparing y'all's young men out here. I don't get it. Now, before, we used to have to balance checkbook. So now we can do that online. But some of y'all don't understand how that works. If you're going to sit up there and train and help get these girls together, I want you to put the same level of energy into these young men. When's the last time they had to make sure that they took care of certain things? Like, they can't iron because, you know, we'll just go take them to the dry cleaners. Great if you have the money to do so. But what happens when you don't? They can't operate a steamer because, God forbid, that would be the next level, right? Because you don't want to use iron. You can't use iron. You can't operate a steamer. They can't change a tire. They can't do certain things. Some of them can't even mow the lawn. I'm not cussing anybody out. These are just questions as I'm about to put my child out into the world where she'll probably be entertained by somebody's dusty son. And I'm saying to myself, my God, what are y'all doing to prepare them? What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing to prepare them to be emotionally intelligent? What are y'all preparing them to be leaders, right? Instead of just trying to get them to get a job as you just want them up and out, we could take them to McDonald's while they're young, but let's say, hey, how are we going to figure out how we can become an owner of it? Like, I want you to prepare because I'm preparing mine. I tell my daughter all the time, oh, you want to start a business? Let's see how you handle it. Like, you got to start from beginning to end. Don't put no business in your husband's name. Keep it in yours. Why? Because I'm trying to prepare my baby and all the rest of the other two kids that I got. So if you haven't been doing your due justice, I got a daughter that's about to be grown. You need to do the same for your children. Your sons especially need to be guided. They need some guidance. And here's the thing. Not everybody owns and has the same skill set. So there's some things that I can't do. There's some things that you can do, but this is the thing. You got to get them to somebody who can teach them. If you don't got that skill set, let them be under somebody else that can. I'm not telling you to ship your kids off to somebody else. What I'm saying is let them be a mentor, have a mentor in their life that can show things that that you cannot. Everybody is not going to go to college. So are you preparing them to figure out what they're good at, what they like to do with their hands, some type of skill set that they can fall back on? Is there a certain way that they can make money legally online and do it well? I need us to train sons, daughters, if you're raising a nephew, a grandchild, whatever, however, I need us to put the same level of energy from one sex to the other, period. Because again, I don't understand. People are not going to graduate and all of a sudden have a wife. And 9 times out of 10, if they are to do that, listen, do you know how hard marriage is? I've been married for 12 years. Marriage is not a walk in the park. And I've known my husband this year makes 25 years. We knew each other very well even before we got married. And we still had some things that we had to get through. And we still have some things to this day that we're still struggling with. Like, I don't think y'all understand that the preparation for children isn't to prepare them to do things for you. Like, I've always thought to myself, how can I prepare my child to be good outside of my house? How can I prepare them? So that's just a little bit of information for y'all. Y'all can ponder on that and argue with yourselves in the comment section. You can sit there and tell yourselves that I'm being, you know, I'm judging people and all this other stuff. I really am not. I just know that I've seen men from every caliber of my own life, even as a child. When I started becoming a teenager, I started seeing how some of these older men, because a lot of you young girls and young women will tell yourself, I'm just going to get with an older man. Let me just help you out. There's a lot of raggedy older men. So if you think that you're going to bypass the foolishness and shenanigans of the young men because you're looking for an older man, I just want to let you know most older men were usually raggedy younger men. They just become older. They don't usually grow in grace if they don't choose to do so. It's a choice. So if you think that you're going to get an older man because you think that he's going to have money, he's going to have influence, he's going to have all these different things, and that's your pull to get an older man, I just want to caution you that you might want to reconsider that, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of older men that's janky as hell. So don't try to tell your children to go get a, tell your daughter, go get yourself an older man, because you're going to put her in a situation where one, he may be doing all kind of stuff because he done been there and done that and seen some things, and he may not be right. So, hey, don't shoot the messenger, because the message is right. I need y'all to get your sons ready for the world and stop trying to teach them just for yourself. You cannot be so selfish that you're just like, well, he needs to be able to do this and that for me. He's not going to live underneath your roof. He has to have skills. it's not just for the girls to learn how to cook and clean, but these men can't clean a toilet that they piss all over because they don't know how to put the toilet seat up and put it back down when they're done. They don't even wash their hands when they get done holding their junk. And you expect for this type of man to go out into the world and get a decent woman, but they don't want to be decent themselves? I have been teaching my kids, both male, my son, and my two daughters, that you attract who you are. So as much as we want to sit there and say, well, it's so-and-so and so-and-so's fault, let's keep it 100. 9 times out of 10, when you're raggedy, of course it's easy to attract another raggedy person because you raggedy. And as much as we want to say, I've dated the same man and I don't know why I keep getting him. You keep getting the same man because it's not them, it's you. You're attracting the same man. But listen, we didn't come here for dating advice. You didn't come here for that. We talked about boundaries. This week, I just want to talk about this boundary that I've been seeing, this conversation on boundaries. You know that I spend some time on TikTok, of which we're going to talk about some social media detoxing. But while I was on TikTok, I saw Jackie Aina, who is one of the biggest African-American content creators, especially in the beauty world, that I personally respected. Here's the thing. So I moved to Philadelphia about maybe 13 years ago. And about a couple years in, I started to catch the vision of seeing Jackie Aina. Personally, I watched her videos because her skin tone was a lot like mine, and I could follow through with her makeup tips. And to this day, that's honestly how I learned how to do makeup, was watching Jackie Aina's videos from all things, from all angles. And I still go back and reference some stuff that she does because I just appreciate the fact that, one, I didn't see that many chocolate girls who looked, that had the same skin tone as me, who could put on makeup and had the same sort of issues with like dark spots and oily skin, blah, blah, blah. So I followed her. Allegedly, she may or may not have gotten married. The debate on TikTok is wild. Don't really care if she did or she didn't. But people were in her comment sections, some of them saying, congratulations, this man finally married you, blah, blah, blah. So she started to block people. People were all up in arms. There are 17,000 different videos on here that's talking about why she should be able to do that, because she's a lifestyle content creator. She doesn't have a right to privacy. Basically, if you have this large following, you want to have the public eye, but not when it counts on certain things. Here is my take on this. I am a content creator, nowhere near the touch of Jackie Aina. I don't act like I am. I don't do all those things. But even in the life that I choose to put what I choose to put online or not. And it's my choice. So if I don't allow somebody into something that's going on with my life, that's my choice. Now, we can understand it when there's a smaller content creator, but we don't have that understanding when it's larger. When you're larger, you have a bigger base. You have a bigger crowd. There's people looking at every little thing that you do. And if she decides that she doesn't want to share with us if she actually did get married because she changed her name on there, so everybody's in an uproar, or not, that's her business. I only came here to see the stuff that she's doing and see what I like about certain things, see if I want to adapt certain things to my life or lifestyle, and then I move on. I don't have any weight in the situation. I don't have any energy to say, okay, well, she's doing certain things, so now she has to show me all the things. Like, I don't really think that that's how this works. When you have a boundary put into place, whether you agree with it, and some of y'all, a lot of y'all, most of y'all have not agreed with it. You say, she wants to make money publicly, but doesn't want to let us in privately. Here's the thing. Do you know how much money Beyonce makes? Very much publicly. And she don't always allow us into her life privately. We get glimpse of whatever Beyonce does. Now, of course, Jackie Aina and Beyonce are in two different realms. Jackie Aina is where she's at. Beyonce is where she's at. And everybody has paved their way. But you have to learn to save something for yourself, right? And whatever that something for yourself is, it's her choice. I personally don't have a dog in the fight at all. I don't personally care. Like I said, why did I start following Jackie Aina? Because I like the fact that her makeup, again, was something that I could actually do. I have copied a lot of the makeup looks and has been bomb when I've done it. And again, she just helped me to be comfortable. I was in the middle of postpartum depression when I started following Jackie Aina. And for me, just having that moment to take that moment, as my therapist was suggesting at the time, take some moments for yourself. So when my kids would go down, I would pull up my phone. I watched Jackie Aina's thing. I would use Friday nights was my makeup night, where I would sit, look at the videos, try to duplicate what was for me, and do it on my own terms, according to what Jackie would show. And that's how I learned how to do makeup. Now, I'm not telling you that I can start doing your makeup. I just know that makeup works for me, how I want to look. And that's how I go by. That's it. That's what I'm there for. She has now stepped in from just makeup, from just beauty to lifestyle things. She shows you parts of her home. She doesn't give you a full tour. You don't know where her home is. I don't personally care. I'm not about to walk up to her house and knock on the door, even if I did know. So we get glimpses of it, right? She lives a very, what's called this new soft life. Everybody's in gaga about her, about what they think about her and different things like that. I personally don't care. Take what is for you and why did you choose to follow her and then keep it pushing. I rarely, and I do mean this, rarely comment on her stuff because I don't really have, that's really not my thing. I came to observe, I see it, I like it, I keep it moving. I do like a lot of her things. I think that the way that she lives her life is amazing. And if I could go back in my life and recreate not the same things, but the same spirit of like living soft and like liking, you know, luxury and being okay with that instead of making myself feel as a black woman that I'm not deserving. Those are the things I take away. I don't really care about all the brands and all the stuff. Like, those things are beautiful. But for me, she's entitled to her privacy. I don't care. Now, she could go very well and block me after this podcast. And what would I be able to say? I would just be upset about that, right? I would just be like, oh my gosh, this, why did this happen? But I can't really control that. When it comes to boundaries, a lot of people are not going to control it. And it's nothing that people could do because that's what the boundary is there. It's there to silence whatever it is that you have going on. It's there to help you in whatever you're trying to do. And you're just supposed to move on from that. A lot of people get upset when people place boundaries because it's telling you that you can only go but so far. And we love to be a habitual overstepper. And this is just not even with a Jackie Aina, not with social media, but with people in general. If I place a boundary and said to somebody, I am no longer having conversation, which I have done, I've talked about this several times on this podcast. I have gone no contact with several people in my dad's side of the family multiple times. And some of them are still don't have access to me. Okay, they don't have access to me. And what I do personally when it comes to a no contact is I'm living that life way beyond social media. So once I block you on social media, it's because I've already blocked you in real life. You can't call and text me and send me a message. You can't send messages to people that you think they know me. And if and when you do, I will always tell the person who brought me the message, I respect you, but I'm asking you to never bring me another message with that person or by that person, because again, that's none of my concern. None of my concern. I don't really care about what's happening. I don't want to have a conversation with them. I've made my stance and I'm good with it. When do I get to take the boundary off? You heard that correctly. When do I? It's my boundary. I get to take it on and off. And I have done so. Some people I've taken it off. Some people I've kept it on. Some people I will probably place back. Those are things that I can do. What I'm telling you is when it comes to your mental health, you have control. Whatever Jackie says she's going to do is on her. Whatever you're dealing with another person and you've offended them, and I'm talking about not Jackie, I'm talking about just your regular everyday person and you've offended them, here's what I don't like. Don't do that. Well, if I've offended, you know you have. So since I've offended you, I apologize. That may be an opening door. And here's the thing. Even with you apologizing, it may not go anywhere. I can claim how hurt I've been by people, but also I have to acknowledge I've hurt people too. There's been an exchange of hurt. What I choose to do with that hurt is my business. And what that person chooses to do with their hurt is their business. As long as nobody's getting physical and nobody's putting their hands on anybody and everybody remains respectful in their spaces, that's all that needs to happen. So the mental health thought for this week is, where do you need to place boundaries? Instead of getting caught up in Jackie Aina's boundaries, where do you need to put boundaries at? Some of you won't put boundaries with your spouse because you believe that because you're married, that you're supposed to just do and everything goes. It doesn't work that way. I am human. I am a person. That person's a person. They are human. We don't get to just walk all over people because we're married to them, right? So instead of getting caught up in the drama that is, you know, Jackie Aina, and I know it's going to be a thing because, again, because she's such a big follower, a lot of people are just so gaga over everything that's happening. But here's the thing. There's really no tea. All these videos that are being made, they're now making, you know, getting all these followers and they're getting all these likes and video watches because they're talking about Jackie Aina. Her name will carry and does all the things. I'd rather for you to take that energy and decide who do you need to put balances and checks and balances within your own personal life. Because there are people that you probably should. There are people that you probably should. And those are the things you should focus on. How can you take care of you in a much better light? Okay. How can you take care of you in a much better light? Now, today is Friday. It is August the 16th. There's a lot of things that are happening as far as national holidays, okay? The first thing is National Independent Worker Day, Kool-Aid Day. Do everybody remember Kool-Aid? National Roller Coaster Day. National Rum, for those who drink. National Tell a Joke. And even wearing a Hawaiian shirt day. So there's plenty of things that you can do to celebrate and enjoy those times, because that is what those national holidays are supposed to do. They're supposed to give you something to look forward to every single day. And some things will be things you like and some things will be things you don't. I can't stand the people who always have to highlight, I don't even drink when it's National Coffee Day. I don't even drink coffee. It's National Chocolate Day. I don't even drink chocolate. It's not your day. There's a friend of mine who does this every time. This is why I actually had stopped posting the national holidays on my page and just kind of just celebrate it. And I would mention it like in different posts or like in this podcast, I would mention it there because I got tired of every time I would post something and here they come with their hand raised. This was not a poll. I did not take a poll and say, do you like these days? My job at the time was just to announce it. I just posted it and this is that day and it's just kept it moving on. Do you ever understand that there are people like that? This person is like that in most areas of their life. Let's just keep it 100. This same person is like that in every area. If you say the sky is blue, they'll be like, well, it's really not blue. It's this, this, and that. Or you know how this works. I don't really like such and such. Nobody is taking a poll every time they make a statement. You know, you have friends and family members who do the same thing. But I have this one friend who does this all the time. It is legitimately one of the dumbest things I have ever experienced. And it's the most irritating. And what I try to do is not allow it to get to me. I'm not going to lie to say this. It doesn't always get to me. But I try not to let it get to me because I know that that person is just miserable in their skin. You don't have to debate everything. Now, I took debate when I was in high school. I wanted to be an attorney so I can debate with the best of them. I love a good kiki and I love a good argument. But everything is not worth an argument. Everything is not worth a debate. Everything is not worth the debate. Like, I don't understand it. So when somebody posts something that's a fact, unless they're taking a poll, this isn't the time for you to come in and every 2 seconds and you have to give your opinion. Nobody asked you. Now, for the folks that are going to say, well, when you put it on social media, you open the door. Yes, that's correct. But as somebody who also posts on social media quite often, I also have a right to just hit that block, hit that delete, hit that button. One thing I wish that Facebook did, which I think Instagram, if they still do it, got it right, is that you can leave that person's comment up and it only will show for that person. So that means if somebody's saying something and I don't want it to be seen, I can kind of like let it stay, but not let others see it. So the only person who will see it will be the person who made the comment. I love that button. I use the same thing that they do use it on the business account. If you have a Facebook business, you can do that. Because every time I post something about like a show that's coming up or something that needs a ticket, I always get, we're selling our tickets. We no longer can go. You're lying. You're trying to hustle somebody. You're trying to swindle somebody. And to protect my audience, I always go in there and I hide it so that the person who made the comment can see it, but they can't. Nobody else can see it. Nobody else can get swindled. Nobody else can basically fall trap to the lies and deceit of these people trying to hustle people out of their money. It's like, why? You know you didn't buy no tickets to something, so stop playing. The one time somebody posted the event was free and they still came on there. Oh, I have tickets. There was no tickets. There was no tickets to have. So how did you have tickets to something? People are miserable. But going back to this friend who does that, you got to be a miserable individual. And here's the thing. This person is miserable in real life. In real life, they are miserable. Every time you see them, they look miserable. Their spirit is miserable. People around them become miserable when they're around them. It's a thing. I want y'all to work on, and this is something that I'm working on very actively, is how can I become a better version of myself every single day? I talked about on the blog, if you follow the blog, which is at Toytime, T-O-I-T-I-M-E, .org, you know that I started and very strongly in a social media detox. So you can set this on your phone. I don't know how to set it for Androids, but I can tell you how to set it for the iPhone users, where you go into your phone and you go into the screen time. So when you go into screen time, one, you can see how much time are you actually spending on all these apps. Then you can schedule downtime. So I schedule my downtime to make sure that I limit the amount of time that I'm on social media, especially at night. At night is that time when you start that scrolling. So here's what happens. If I'm not at a media event, I'm at home. Maybe I've done all the editing that needs to be done. So I'm kind of supposedly relaxing, quote unquote. And I'm on the couch. Now I'm falling asleep on the couch. My phone is in my hand. I've even dropped my phone out of my hand several times because now the kids are taken care of. The house is kind of calm. And instead of me getting into my nighttime routine, instead of me preparing to go to sleep or read a book or do something that's quiet, and I'm on my screen. So now my spirit is being pushed and pulled in different directions, watching a bunch of foolishness on these apps. And while I'm doing that, things are not getting done. Or the fact that I'm not able to relax. Or the fact that I wake up the next morning and I'm tired. Because I've even had times when I've woken up, I've been on my scroll time. I may have started at 9, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm still up and scrolling. And now I can't go back to sleep because I'm overstimulated by what's on my phone. So I set, using the things I just told you, go into your settings, go into your screen time, setting what you need to set up. And my phone will take every app and it's like, nope, no use. I can still text if I want to, but that's about all. Text or maybe a phone call. But I can't go on the internet and search anything. I can't go on any apps. Now, can I bypass it? Yes. Have I? No. I haven't. There's no need. Why? Because I'm trying to do a social media detox. And you may say, well, it don't work that way. I don't need to do all that. That's you. This is my journey. All I can do is encourage others to do the same thing. I'm encouraging you to consider doing a detox on your social media because we spend a lot of time on there doing this mindless scrolling, but we don't do a lot of mindfulness when it comes to how we take care of ourselves. How are we letting our minds get influenced by these different stories, these different conversations? And oh my God, so-and-so broke up with somebody and then their person came on and made a video to refute what they were saying. And then by the time you're done, you don't found out where the person's live. You don't went down this rabbit hole. And while you're doing that, you're not getting enough sleep. You're not eating well. You're not taking care of yourself. You haven't read a book in a month of Sundays. There's a lot of things. When people say to me, how do you read a book and you're still doing all the things you're doing? I make time for it. And then I hear people say, well, I need to do the same thing. But what are you doing to make sure that you are? I don't have enough time. You don't have enough time. How do you not have enough time and I do? You know why I have enough time? Because I prioritize what's important to me, just like you haven't prioritized what's important to you. And although you know that reading a good book is probably important, you're not making the time to do it. You're not making the time because I run an online business, the blog, the podcast, the social media. I do freelance writing. I also do my own thing with all the things that I have going on. My schedule is like crazy. And if I open up my planner and just showed you a picture of that planner, you'll be like, oh my God. It's crazy how color coordinated this planner is because there's 1,001 things happening. Okay. My life is always moving and it's moving fast, but I make time for the things that are important to me. What's on today's to be a fly on the wall segment? My fly on the moment of the wall moment for this week is dealing with PR. How y'all handle Black clients versus how you handle everybody else that's not Black. I have seen the way that people handle clients that are Black in such atrocity. Here's the thing. I need PRs, especially Philadelphia PRs, to time in, to tune in, to understand. We talk when it's a client or when that client talks to other influencers or content creators or however. We hear the things that we hear about how they're being mishandled. You don't give the same weight. You don't handle them professionally. You do them any old kind of way. And then you wonder why you get the results that you get. Here's the thing. People are going to talk and have been talking for a while. And for a couple of the other PRs that I've been hearing this mess from is very disheartening to me. Some of them, I'm just sitting there saying to myself, I've known you for a long time and this is how you're doing people. I need you to get on and do better. Nobody is above a do better. We all can do better in some type of frame, but I need this to stop because what's happening is that people are saying, you know, we need more people to come into business and all these different business owners to come together and like do better business, do more business, do all these other things. But their PRs is handling them all kinds of raggedy. If you go through all of your channels and you make sure that you send out, you know, updates and things to other clients, I want you to do the same for the Black and Brown clients, period. Don't do them any old kind of way because, you know, whatever, like you figure like they're smaller or they're like the last on your totem pole, then don't take them. Don't take them on. If that's how you feel, then don't take them on. So my fly on the wall moment has been the ridiculousness that I have been seeing happening when it comes to some of these PRs and how they handle Black and brown businesses. But what's interesting is those same PRs are so gung-ho to beat their chest to say how they represent Black and brown business. So it's okay to represent them when you can use them for aesthetics, but it's not okay when you can sit there and talk to them, dog them out, and talk about their businesses to other people who have nothing to do with their businesses and think it won't get back to them or to other people who may have influence. Do you know how many times people have talked to me about PR that I know and know well and have done things, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, my God, today, y'all, this is what y'all really do. Because it's beautiful to have the brown and black aesthetic, because you could say we are a diverse PR company and we have diverse companies underneath us. We have diverse clients. So it's only being used as an aesthetic, as a prop, but your heart ain't in it. So you treat them any old type of way when it comes to the day-to-day business. And I think that's really messed up. That's really messed up. And I would love to be a fly on the wall when your business, when people start talking about this, when this comes a full circle moment, because it will, it always does. This ain't me sprinkling some hate on your business. I'm just telling you, it always does. And when that sprinkling moment comes, my God. My other part of this is when we have PR companies who only want a certain aesthetic when it comes to Black and brown people. Let me break this down. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea because I know I'm champagne. Nobody has to tell me that, right? And I'm a darker skin or dark or brown skin woman. I would say more brown, like a darker brown skin woman. And when my aesthetics don't fit you, I don't even get those emails to those invitations because the client is looking for a certain aesthetic. We need someone who's going to wear a certain brand to their certain thing, and they need to bring a certain, you know, decor, AKA how they dress and how they carry themselves. And every PR has an A, B, C, D, and however many letters and numbers they want to use. And they only call for the little regenerates when they need to fill a room. If you think that I'm lying, just do your research. And so when I, the brown skin girl who focuses on wellness and does all the certain things, really don't fit your aesthetic, or when you don't really need to do the diversity, you don't have to check off the diversity clause, I don't get emails to certain things. And here's the thing, I don't want emails, all the things, right? But there are certain PR companies that are known to do this. And I actually was shocked when I seen one of the influencers call them out, because she actually fits the aesthetic. And I was shocked that if she called them out, you know there ain't no help for me, because I don't fit the aesthetic. And she was one of those brown skin girls who actually did, you know, the acceptable browns, because there's like an acceptable brown and then it's not. But so many of them will play this game. And so they only call us browner ones when they need us to fill the room, because God forbid the other ones that you've asked said, no, they can't go because they're going to somebody else. And then you want to put in, you know, little fillers. That's when, you know, the D-list of people come out. I've already peeped it. I had written it down. I just start recognizing certain things. Okay. Just recognizing certain things, just how some companies move, especially in Philadelphia. Things happen in other areas too. Other cities have the same issues to some degree, but in Philadelphia, it's a weird vibe. If you don't fit the aesthetic, they're not going to invite you, blah, blah, blah. And that's all well and good. Now, granted, there are certain requirements, like, you know, a person must have a certain follower account. They must have certain things. Those are different, but we're talking about when people go out of their way to make sure that there's a certain color aesthetic. And it's so well, it's like you get four of the acceptable ones. You get four of the acceptable ones, or you make the ones, if they have like a 50K, then you'll be like, okay, we got to make exceptions for them regardless of their color scheme. We'll put them in. But certain people, no, they don't fit the aesthetic, so we don't bother. And I'm not even mad, because everybody can run the business as they choose to. Like, who am I to say how you can run your business? But I'm just saying it's noticeable, and we all talk. So when we see that our names is not being called on certain things, it's funny because it'll be like, well, you know, we don't know anything about that. I don't represent that company, or I don't have any control over that. And it's like, you do. You do. You definitely do. So again, there's been a lot going on this week, and the aesthetic conversation has come up several times this week. The boundary conversation has come up several times this week. And again, that fly on the wall moment has come up several times just in this week. Keep in mind that they have come up in several times in other weeks before, but it's been real strong this week about how some PR companies are handling the brown skin girls, women's companies, businesses, and how they do them. And it's unfortunate. What am I watching? What am I reading? I just got finished reading an amazing book, and I think it's pretty amazing. Maybe you think like, not my cup of tea. And again, I say, that's all well and good. So I've been reading Power Moves by Sarah Jessica Roberts. Now, before y'all come for me, let me be very clear. I am not above knowing the drama that follows the T.D. Jakes and his family. I'm not above it. I've watched it all unfold just like the rest of y'all on the TikTok, right? TikTok is where all the stuff in the world goes to hell in a handbasket with a bow on it, okay? That's where it all goes. People have no filter on TikTok because you can kind of go in there and say what you want to say. How do you think we got Risa Tisa? How do you think we got all these different things that popped off? It happened on TikTok. It didn't happen on Instagram. It didn't happen on Twitter, aka X. It happens on TikTok. And yes, I have seen all of the drama, the dramatics, the unfolding of the things that have gone on when it comes to the Jakes family. Now, let me just say allegedly, because I don't have any knowledge of this firsthand. I don't have no conversations with them. All I'm saying is I read Sarah Jessica Roberts' new book. I thought the book was great. There were points in there where certain things were said and I was like, now, come on now. I don't know about all that. And it wasn't about the fact that she, you know, if you know, Sarah Jessica Roberts is the daughter of T.D. Jakes, who is the founder of Women That Are Loose and all that other things, right? He has been around since I was a child. I grew up listening to T.D. Jakes. One of the messages that I will never forget from T.D. Jakes is that was Juanita Bynum, God's Got Your Leg. But his message was, nothing just happens. That has always been in my spirit. My mom was one of those people. She used to have the tapes. We had the CDs. We had the music. Like, we had everything, right? And so his message of nothing just happens sticks well with me. And you may even still hear me talk about, like, in certain aspects, I'll say nothing just happens. Like, even when I talk about, even in the intro, sometimes I'll say nothing just happens. You didn't come here by accident. If you're here, welcome, all the things. So I have always been a follower, or not even a follower, but I would say an admirer of the Jakes family. Now, with all that being said, all the stuff that happened to them allegedly is just what it is. And it's not that I'm trying to dampen her name by saying this is a good book, but all I'm telling you is that I'm not oblivious to the things that are happening. But here's what I do when it comes to all things. It doesn't matter what people's stories are. There could be stories about me that's floating around, some real, some not, some imagined, all the things. I take what's for me and I leave the rest. So the book Power Moves is a great book. You could take what you want out of that book and apply it to your life to do what you choose to do with it, or you can leave it. I decided to read it, and I was apprehensive on reading it because of all the affirmed things that we've already talked about, the alleged things that people have been saying over them about the years, about their influence to influence cases, judges, all the things. If I had to go and say, do I doubt it? I would have to say, I don't personally doubt that some of these things are real. I don't, but I'm going to say allegedly these things that they've done. But again, when I read people's material, when I read somebody's blog, when I read or see somebody's content, I take what's for me, what resonated with me, and I leave the rest. So I am telling you that yes, I am full on aware about all the things, but I'm still suggesting to you to read Power Moves. Power Moves is a good book. I've read it really quickly. I thought it was good. I took some notes on it and some things so that I can apply it to my own life. I'm just the type of person that just kind of takes it and leaves whatever's not for me. If it's not for me, it's not for me. So I don't get caught up in all those things. I don't allow myself to go down the rabbit hole of trying to figure out what's real, what's not, because ain't none of that. Ain't none of that none of my concern. Everybody has to do what works for them. And I personally just, again, I move the way that I move and I get influenced. When people talk about influencers, you're talking about, what did I get influenced to do, to buy, to increase my life? I try to hope that if you want to consider me to be an influencer, I hope that I'm encouraging you to take care of yourself when it comes to your mind. I grew up in church my whole life. You've known this story before if you've listened to the podcast. I'm a PK, which is a preacher's kid. I've been around church. I've been around, you know, all the things. I've seen the best and I've seen the worst. Okay. And my whole take on things is that I just choose to find a way to live better. And sometimes that better means that it's some things that I have to do to break some things inside of me that shouldn't have happened, said, or been done, and say my sorries, my apologies, and hope that things can reconcile, because I'm not perfect. So we all go through these cycles. So read and take what you choose to take from Power Moves. It's a very well-written book. This is the second book or third, maybe the second or third book that I've read from Sarah Jessica Jakes Roberts, because, you know, she's married. It don't even matter what husband number this is. It don't even matter, because none of that matters. What I will say is that it's a good book. I suggest you read it. Take what's for you and leave the rest. as the parents are beginning to get your children ready for school, you're buying them school supplies, you're getting them clothes or uniforms, whatever it is you need to buy for them. The one thing I hope that you're doing is trying to get them back on some type of schedule. These kids have been running ragged all this time. My kids stay up till 10 o'clock in the summertime. They've been out. If we're out and about, we stay out a little longer. It's fine because it's summer. But get your kids started preparing them to get that sleep, to get them back onto a sleeping schedule. Don't wait until the school week to try to do it, because I promise you it's going to be harder on you and harder on them. Start that process of getting them up, even if you let them go back to sleep after a while, but like get them to get up so they're used to what it feels like to get up. Also, make sure that you're taking care of them in their mindset and body. Like if you know that your children, and some kids do, that deal with anxiety just returning back into the classroom, have you considered maybe getting some therapy where you can do some online therapy with BetterHelp or call your insurance company EAP and figure out how you can get them some help and assist them into getting back into the school year? Some kids get really anxious about, you know, going back and learning if they don't, if there's a teacher that they don't like, or they're scared to, you know, learn because of the stuff they've heard from other kids. Here's the thing. One of my kids, I won't say which one of them was having so many issues because stuff they heard from a teacher before they went into the classroom. Now, granted, they had a right to feel that way because they had seen a sibling go and they had maybe heard or conversations that went down. And so that child was having a hard time. So what I did was try to prepare that child by, again, getting them some therapy before the, you know, school started up, so they can have those an outlet that's different from me and they can talk about it. If you don't want to do that, maybe you just have open conversations about expectations, what to look for, how they can turn that, you know, what they're thinking is going to happen into some positivity. You know, sometimes kids will overthink about what's going to happen and then they get worked up about something that's not actually happening. And that's when you have to have that real versus what you think or how you feel conversation so that they can kind of settle down. And do what you can to prepare them. Make sure they have all the things that they need. Yes, when it comes to all the tangible things you can buy. But there's sometimes stuff going on the inside. And if you know that your child is prone to some sort of anxiety, I deal with anxiety, so I understand what that feels like. You know, the night before, kids get really anxious. You know, have a conversation with them. Let them express how they're feeling, especially the few days before going to school, the day before, the day of. Let them express how they feel. And then you listen and then take what they say and then try to turn it around. Be their biggest cheerleader. Support them in the fact that they're feeling the way that they're feeling, but how can we make a difference with what we're dealing with, right? How can we make a difference with how we're going to address a situation? And that's the type of stuff that you want to do. Like, get them minds ready for school, not just their school bag, not just the actual bag, not just the supplies that they're asking. How about getting themselves together with their mind? As we switch over from summer to fall soon, what are you doing to prepare? I've already started to, one, prepare my content because I'm a content creator, but two, also prepare the things that I'm going to need. There's some new products that I'm ready to share with you guys. I cannot wait, that are going to help with like keeping you calm, helping you with your sleep, making sure that you, if you had a night out the night before and it was a little rough, like how can you get yourself in balance? Like, I want you to prepare yourself. Like, it's crazy how we wait till the season happens and then we're trying to do all these things when you should be in preparation. I know that once fall goes into winter, there are certain things that I must do to prepare myself. I don't wait till the season comes because I know season depression is going to be knocking at my door. And the time to prepare isn't when you're already in the battle. It's before the battle even comes. What do you need to equip yourself for the next battle? Right? And sometimes you get in battles, sometimes you have spots on you, like different areas where you didn't realize wasn't covered. You don't have any protection there. Okay, I got to figure this out. Yes. But there are things that we can do to prepare ourselves for the things that we do know. There are always going to be things that we don't know that's going to come up. But for the things that you do know, what are you doing to prepare yourself? So as I say to this, as I encourage you, your kids are about to go into a new school year, and you might think it's no big deal, but to them, their small minds, they may have big thoughts, big feelings. You might have big thoughts and big feelings. I saw one of my content creation moms and her child is going off to preschool. That's big, because if you've been their sole teacher all this time and now you send your kids off to somebody else where they're not in your care, that first time sending your child off, be honest with you, every time I send my kids, I'd be like, Lord, please protect them. Help them. Be with them in those moments when I can't. Talk to them about what it feels like when they're frustrated. How do they handle that? How are they handling, like, making sure that they're on point? How are they handling all those things when they're getting upset and somebody in their classroom is picking at them? Like, prepare them. Prepare them for the fight. Don't send your kids into battle without the right gear. You wouldn't send them into the school year without the right pencil or even a pencil at all. So why are we not preparing their minds? Why are we not preparing their bodies? My daughter, my oldest, she's been, you know, going to the gym and doing her thing. So she can be, she was like, listen, I got to be ready to walk up those steps, because she has to sometimes go from one side of the building all the way to the other. And I was like, you know what? Thank you for doing that for yourself. I pray that I'm modeling some type of greatness that she can aspire to take care of yourself. Because I don't always have all the answers, but what I do know is I can take a time to pause, think about what it is that I need, be intentional with my words about how to express my needs. And here's the thing, know that everybody that's in my corner, in my circle, aren't always going to have the answers to my needs. My husband is a great provider. He's a great listener. He does all these different things. He could be all those people, but if he can't always fix what's wrong with me, we may not be able to fix each other. So you got to learn how to listen to yourself, know what you need. Listen to your kids. Sometimes they have a hard time expressing themselves. Listen to it. And while you're listening, just ask God to help you. Like, what should I say that I don't offend them to the point where they don't hear me? I don't want to cut my child off to feel like they came to me for something and I turned them off. So all I'm going to say is do your best. Do your best to prepare your kids for the new year. Prepare yourself for the new year. Because listen, these kids are going back to school. You going back to school. It's time to get back in that homework feels. You're going to have the parents screaming out, how many apples did Johnny have? Somebody sent me that this week. And I was like, yes, prepare me, Lord. Prepare me for all these questions that are going to come up. With that being said, thank you for listening to this week's Conversations with Toy. I hope the other weeks in this new season is helpful. I'm really trying to make sure that I give you as much information that I possibly can for those healthcare and self-care moments, because I promise you life is going to hit everybody hard at different moments. But if you can find ways to take care of yourself, and literally sometimes it's a nap, sometimes it's just, you know, stepping away from certain people, sometimes it's turning off your phone and getting that detox in. I'm going to leave the blog post for that into the show notes. Thank you for your support. I don't take it lightly that you listen to my voice every week, and I thank you for listening. You guys have been killing it in the game when it comes to listening to the episodes. I really appreciate that. I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart. Again, as a content creator, as a podcaster, as a blogger, as a freelance writer, as all these different titles, I want you to understand my biggest flex isn't all the things that I do, it's how I take care of me. Have the most amazing week, and thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.